Welcome to another Aurora Generators podcast exploration.
Great to be here.
Today we're looking into something that probably frustrates a lot of people. We've gone through operator manuals, some repair articles, even user forums.
Right.
To figure out why portable generators can be such a pain to start sometimes.
Yeah, that moment you really need it. Maybe the power's out. Maybe you're on a site.
Exactly. Yeah. And you pull the cord or hit the button and just crickets. Or it cranks and cranks but won't actually fire up.
That's super frustrating.
So our goal today is to unpack that. What are the common causes based on all this material? And, you know, what can you actually do about it?
Okay, let's get into it.
All right, so maybe just a quick refresher first. What kind of engine are we typically talking about here?
Well, usually it's a small four-cycle engine. Think lawnmower, pressure washer, that kind of thing.
Simple enough.
Yeah, basically it sucks in fuel and air, compresses it, a spark ignites it, and then it pushes out the exhaust.
Yeah.
Intake, compression, power, exhaust. Over and over.
And when it won't start, something in that cycle is broken.
Exactly. You might hear it turning over, you know, the engine is spinning.
Right. You pull the rope or the electric starter is going.
Right. But there's no combustion. It doesn't catch and run on its own. That's the classic sign.
And looking at the manuals and what people are saying online, it seems like most roads lead back to a few key areas.
Definitely. It usually comes down to the basics. Fuel and air are always the prime suspects.
Makes sense. Can't have combustion without them.
No. If you don't have the right amount of fuel mixed correctly with air, or if either is, you know, compromised somehow,
then the spark doesn't have anything good to ignite.
Precisely. And the very, very first thing mentioned everywhere, manuals, repair sites.
Let me guess. Is there gas in it?
Yeah, you got it. Sounds almost silly, but when you're stressed or in a hurry.
Yeah, you could overlook the obvious.
Okay. Yeah.
Assuming there is fuel, the condition of that fuel seems to be huge.
Oh, absolutely. Probably the number one issue for generators that have been sitting around for a bit. Old fuel.
Right, that stale gas smell. What's actually happening to it? What does it go bad?
Well, several sources talk about oxidation. Gasoline reacts with oxygen over time.
Okay.
And this process creates, like, gummy stuff, varnish, deposits. The fuel might look darker, feel stickier.
And then there's the ethanol issue, right? Most gas has it now.
Yeah, up to 10% is common. And ethanol loves water. It's hydrophilic.
Meaning it absorbs moisture.
Exactly. From the air, especially if the temperature changes a lot. And if it absorbs enough water, the ethanol and water can actually separate from the gasoline.
Oh, wow. So it settles out.
Yeah, potentially leaving water or the separated gunk at the bottom of your fuel tank.
So you've got old gummy fuel and maybe water sloshing around. What does that actually do to the engine parts?
That's where the real trouble starts. All that stuff, varnish, gum, water, separated ethanol. It's terrible for the fuel system. It just clogs things up.
Like the fuel lines.
Fuel lines, filters, yeah. But the biggest headache mentioned constantly in repair guides and forums is the carburetor.
Why the carburetor specifically? Is it more sensitive?
Yeah. It really is. It has these incredibly tiny passages, little jets. They have to be precisely the right size to mix the fuel and air perfectly.
Ah, okay.
So even the smallest bit of that gum or varnish can block a jet or partially block it.
Meaning the engine gets no fuel or maybe the wrong mixture.
Exactly. And either way, it's not going to start. Or it might start and run terribly.
Wow. So old fuel isn't just weak. It actively blocks the most critical part for fuel delivery. That feels like a key point. Use fresh, proper fuel.
Definitely. The manuals are specific. Clean, fresh, regular, unleaded, usually minimum 87 octane. And they often stress no more than 10% ethanol. Anything else is asking for trouble.
Okay, so fuel condition is critical. What about the other part of the mix, air?
Just as important, the engine needs to breathe, right? It pulls air through an air filter.
And if that filter is dirty?
If it's clogged with dust, grass, clippings, whatever, it restricts the airflow.
And that throws off the fuel-air ratio again.
Yep. Not enough air means the mixture is too rich, too much fuel, makes it hard to start, runs rough, might even stall out if it does manage to start.
So checking the air filter is another relatively easy thing to look at.
For sure. And there's another air-related thing that's easy to miss, the fuel cap vent.
The fuel cap, how does that affect starting?
Many generator fuel caps have a little vent lever or valve on them. The manual we saw specifically says it needs to be turned to on or open.
Why? What does it do?
As the engine uses fuel, air needs to get into the tank to replace it. If that vent is closed or clogged, a vacuum builds up inside the tank.
Oh, like putting your finger over a straw.
Exactly. Fuel can't flow down to the carburetor, even if the tank is full. It's starved for fuel because of an air vacuum.
That's a sneaky one. And some have a main fuel valve too, right? near the engine.
Yeah, fuel petcock or shutoff valve.
Yeah.
Make sure that's open too. Forum users mention forgetting that sometimes.
Okay, so fuel level, fuel freshness, fuel cab vent on, main fuel valve open, clean air filter. That covers getting the right stuff to the engine.
Right, but then you need to ignite it.
Which brings us to the spark plug.
The little guy doing the hard work of creating the spark.
What goes wrong with spark plugs? Based on the sources, what are the common culprits?
Well, they wear out. They can get fouled, coated in black, sooty carbon deposits from combustion.
Okay.
They can get physically damaged, maybe the porcelain cracks, or the electrode, the metal bit where the spark happens, just wears down over time.
And any of those things mean a weak spark or maybe no spark at all?
Exactly. Weak spark, no ignition. Simple as that.
One manual even mentioned checking the gap, right? The space between the electrodes.
Yeah, it gave a specific range like 0.024 to 0.031 inches or 0.6 to 0.8 millimeters. If that gap is wrong, the spark quality suffers.
And checking or changing it involves pulling the wire off first
Yeah,
for safety.
absolutely. Manuals are very clear. Disconnect that spark plug wire before you put a wrench anywhere near the plug. Don't want any accidental starts or shocks.
Good point. So, besides the plug itself, what else is in that ignition system? Could something else fail?
Well, the ignition coil is mentioned in some repair guides.
What do they do?
It basically takes the low voltage the engine generates as it spins and boosts it way up. High voltage needed to jump that gap on the spark plug.
Ah, it's like a transformer.
Sort of, yeah. If that coil goes bad, no high voltage gets to the plug, so no spark. It's less common than a bad plug, but it definitely happens.
Okay, so we've got fuel, air, and spark covered. But sometimes the engine doesn't even like turn over properly when you try to start it.
Right. That moves us into the mechanical side of starting the cranking mechanisms and also the controls and sensors involved.
Like the pull rope.
Exactly. For manual start generators, that's the recoil starter assembly.
What goes wrong there? Seems pretty simple.
It can malfunction. Inside, there are these little metal tabs, sometimes called pawls. When you pull the rope, they're supposed to swing out and grab onto a part of the engine's crankshaft to spin it.
Right.
If those tabs are worn out, broken, or maybe gummed up and not extending, you'll pull the rope.
And it just comes out easily without resistance.
Or it feels like it's spinning, but it's not actually turning the engine over. The connection isn't being made.
So you're pulling, but nothing's happening inside to start the combustion cycle.
Precisely. And while we're talking about the rope, manuals always warn about letting it snap back. Pull smoothly, guide it back in. It can retract really fast and hurt you.
Good safety reminder. What about the ones with electric start? Keys or buttons?
Those obviously depend on a battery. If the battery is weak or dead, the electric starter motor just won't have the juice to crank the engine effectively.
Makes sense. Like a car with a dead battery.
Exactly. Or sometimes the starter motor itself could be the problem, though that's probably less common than a battery issue.
Okay, so that's the physical cranking. But the way you try to start it matters too, right? Like using the choke.
Oh, hugely important. And this is where you really need to check your specific generator's manual because the procedures can differ slightly, but they all involve a choke, or sometimes it's called an easy start dial or something similar.
What's the choke actually doing?
It basically restricts the air going into the carburetor. This makes the fuel-air mixture richer, more fuel, less air.
Why do you need that?
Cold engines need a richer mixture to start reliably. One manual we looked at was super specific, giving different choke settings for cold weather, standard temps, even hot restarts.
Wow, that detailed.
Yeah, like below 59 Fahrenheit, above 59, even above 86 for a hot restart.
But you can overdo it with a choke, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The manuals warn about this explicitly. Using too much choke or leaving it on too long after the engine
I
starts,
have it.
you flood the engine. Too much raw fuel gets in, wets the spark plug, and prevents ignition. It can actually foul the plug too, causing another problem.
So you generally move the choke off gradually as it warms up.
That's the idea. Follow the manual, but yeah, ease it off.
Are there any other switches or sensors that could just stop it from even trying to start?
Yes. Faulty engine start-stop switches are a possibility. But a really common one, mentioned in manuals and troubleshooting guides, is the low oil sensor.
Ah, the protective features.
Exactly. These engines need oil, obviously. If the oil level gets too low, the sensor is designed to cut the ignition or prevent starting altogether to save the engine from damage.
So if your generator won't start, checking the oil level should be right at the top of the list.
Absolutely. It's often step number one in the pre-start checklist in the manual anyway. Simple check, prevents a lot of head scratching, and saves your engine.
Better safe than sorry, for sure. I think there was one more mechanical thing mentioned. Something about a key.
Ah, yeah, the flywheel key. This one's a bit more internal.
Not like an ignition key, right?
No, no. It's a small piece of metal, often sort of half-moon-shaped. It sits in slots on the crankshaft and the flywheel, locking them together so they rotate in perfect time.
Okay, what's its purpose?
It's actually designed as a weak point. If the engine stops suddenly and violently, maybe it hits something the key is meant to shear, to break.
To protect the more expensive parts.
Exactly, protects the crankshaft. But if that key is broken...
How does that stop it from starting?
Well, the crankshaft might still turn when you pull the rope or use the starter. But because the key is broken, the flywheel might slip or not turn correctly with it.
And the flywheel is important for ignition.
Yeah, the flywheel often has magnets or triggers that work with the ignition coil to tell the engine when to make the spark. If the flywheel's timing is off relative to the crankshaft because the key is sheared.
No spark, or spark at the completely wrong time.
Right, so no start. It's a less obvious cause, but something repair techs look for if other things check out.
Okay, wow. So to recap the main failure points. Fuel issues old, bad gas, clogged carburetors, blocked filters, air issues dirty filter, closed fuel cap vent, spark issues fouled plug, bad gap, maybe a dead coil, cranking problems, recoil starter not engaging, dead battery for electric start, and then controls and sensors, incorrect choke use, low oil levels shutting it down, or even that broken flywheel key.
It covers the big ones, yeah.
So knowing all that, how do you avoid getting into that situation? Prevention seems key.
Absolutely. And maintenance. The sources spend a lot of time on this.
And it sounds like fuel management is number one again.
It really is. Best practice. Use fresh fuel whenever possible. But if you're storing fuel or storing the generator with fuel in it, use fuel stabilizer.
What does stabilizer do exactly?
It slows down that oxidation process we talked about.
Yeah.
It helps prevent the fuel, especially ethanol blends, from breaking down and forming those gums and varnishes. Keeps the fuel fresh for longer.
How much longer?
Depends on the product, but claims range from, you know, 12 months up to maybe 24 months. Significantly extends the storage life.
Okay, so stabilizer helps if you leave fuel in it. What's the alternative for long-term storage?
Draining the fuel system completely. Manuals recommend this. Lots of users swear by it.
How do you do that?
Two main ways. You can turn off the fuel valve and just run the generator until it sputters and dies. That uses up the fuel in the car bowl and lines.
Runs it dry.
Yeah. Or you can physically drain the tank and then specifically drain the little bowl at the bottom of the carburetor. There's usually a drain screw for that. Get all the liquid out.
Because if there's no fuel left sitting in those tiny passages,
it can't go bad and clog them up while it's stored.
Makes perfect sense. What about just like starting it up every now and then?
That's another common recommendation, especially in forums. Run the generator maybe once a month for 15 or 20 minutes under a light load.
Why does that help?
It circulates fresh fuel through the system, keeps the carburetor passages clear, charges the battery if it has one, and just generally keeps things lubricated and ready to go.
Sort of like exercising it.
Exactly. Prevents things from seizing up or getting gummed up from sitting idle.
Okay, fuel management is huge. What other basic maintenance helps prevent starting issues?
Just following the schedule in the manual. That almost always includes checking the spark plug periodically. Clean it, check the gap, replace it when it's worn.
We talked about how critical that is.
And the air filter. Check it, clean it according to the manual, replace it if it's damaged or too dirty to clean properly.
Keeps the engine breathing freely.
Yep. And we mentioned it before, but it bears repeating. Check the oil level before every single start attempt.
Prevents the low oil shutdown, protects the engine. Basic but vital.
Absolutely. All these maintenance tasks are not just for general health. They directly target those common starting failure points. Keeping fuel clean, air flowing, and ignition strong.
So it really seems like most of these frustrating it won't start moments come back to basics. Fuel quality, air supply, spark health, often made worse by just letting it sit neglected.
That's the long and short of it, yeah. An ounce of prevention.
It's worth a pound of cure, especially when the power's out. Following the starting procedure in the manual, using the choke right, managing your fuel, and doing those basic checks, spark plug, air filter, oil, seems like the best way to avoid the headache.
It really does. It's interesting how these machines, you know, they seem tough, but they rely on this delicate balance. A little water from ethanol fuel, a bit of dust in the filter, it can bring the whole thing to a halt.
That interconnectivity is clear. and thinking about how much you might depend on that generator in an emergency.
Exactly. Understanding these common failure points, doing that little bit of maintenance, it stops being just a chore. It's really about ensuring reliability, readiness.
Peace of mind.
Yeah, peace of mind. Knowing it's likely to start when you absolutely need it, that's the real payoff.
That's a great way to frame it. Well, hopefully this look into why generators failed to start has shed some light on the common issues and given you some practical things to check and maintain on your own unit. Definitely take a look at your operator's manual. Thanks for joining us.